Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Live from View House Centennial, presented by Coors Light, reacting live to Rockies Dodgers and getting you set for Broncos Chiefs. 104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with the big story of the day.
Steamy day here in L.A. Hey, open up the gates. Let's go. Where is everybody?
School?
Well, none of us knew anything. What was it, yesterday around 4 or 5 o'clock? Nobody knew where we were going or where there was going to be baseball at.
Los Angeles. Of course, we know if this game was in lower downtown, there'd be 50,000 people going nuts. And it is a packed house here at the View House as well. As we enter one of our more unique broadcasting days, Kurt Warner will join us in just a couple minutes to preview tonight's action with the Broncos and the Chiefs, Alfred. But just to keep you updated, as we will throughout the course of the entire game, the Rockies and Dodgers are tied at zeros through three. In fact, there's only been one hit in the game. That's Machado had a hit off Marquez, led to nothing. Charlie Blackmon took a walk. That led to nothing. The Rockies technically, Al, are being no hit right now, but there's no score as well. So what we expected in terms of a low-scoring pitcher's duel seems to be happening off the bat right here in Los Angeles with this tiebreaker game. Not a playoff game, not a play-in game. This is a regular season game. The stats count. Just like some teams, there are two teams this year, the Marlins and the Pirates, that only played 161 games because they couldn't make up their game, and they don't do it if it doesn't count. You can sometimes have 163 games. So you could win by 17 games after all. But that's the situation we're in right now, Alfred. No score with the Dodgers and the Rockies.
And Marquez is looking fantastic, and that's always great news to see that the guy that you believe in the biggest moment can stand up to the test.
So they're in between innings right now. Perfect time for us to go out to our guest, Kurt Warner, the color analyst for the Broncos-Chiefs game tonight on Westwood One. Kurt, we really appreciate your time. When you look at the two quarterbacks, what do you see with Patrick Mahomes and Case Keenum?
Well, let's start with Patrick. I mean, I see a kid that got all the talent that up to this point in the season, things have come pretty easy for him in regards to the way that they've created plays for him, made some big plays. But I think more than anything, I see a football player. I see a guy that just understands how to play and make plays, different kinds of plays, and some things that you can't teach. And so I'm excited to watch him in person tonight. I'm excited to see what the long-term, upside is for him because, we've seen everything go his direction early on, and I think he'll play well, but it's not always going to be like this. So let's see how he does against teams that can get a pass rush, get after him, maybe when he falls behind in a game. But really like what I see. And then on the other side, I'm a big Case Keenum fan. Case, I believe, is a guy that can make all the throws, a guy that has the ability to win games for you as well. I just think the one thing that I always see is that he always tries to make the big throw. And a lot of times when he does that, he makes bad decisions. And, the one year that he didn't do that was obviously last year where he managed things well, he threw the ball well, he didn't make bad decisions and had a career year. But now when it's a little bit more on him to have to make plays, that's my big concern with him. Not that he can't win games and he can't make all those throws, but it's being able to make those throws while not making the mistake and something that he hasn't necessarily done this year.
You know, what's great about this league is that it keeps on reinventing itself, and we've had several different types of offenses roll through this NFL over these years that I've been watching and before then. And now we have this new thing that's going through the league, this RPO wave of play callers. Andy Reid, of course, is one of those guys. Sean McVay out there in L.A. And, of course, Doug Peterson, who just won a Super Bowl with a lot of those types of plays. It seems to get quarterbacks easy reads. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, all the rules that, you know, that have been favored and, or made in favor of the offense, you know, has made those types of things, the quick throws at the line of scrimmage, the ability to, you know, to block guys and get contact with guys within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage, you know, and those types of things lend themselves to the NFL that we're seeing now. All these quick throws, you know, I heard that Drew Brees, you know, a couple weeks ago, I think he completed 39 or 40 passes in a game. And, you know, and 40 of his 49 throws in that game were within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. And that's really where the NFL has gone, that it's less, you know, take the ball and press it down the field and make the big plays that way. It's more get the ball out of your hands because, you know, it's hard to do things for the defense, you know, quickly at the line of scrimmage. You get your hands on them, and, you know, more guys are playing off coverage because it's tough. They get that, you know, illegal contact after 5 yards and, you know, all the holding penalties. And so it lends itself to this quick, as you said, RPO, get the ball out of our hands, designed wide receiver screen type game. And it's just really hard for defenses to stop because they don't have a lot of advantages in their favor.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you played the position in a way much like I did as a player, you know, that I saw traditional offenses, does this make it easier for quarterbacks? I mean, because it looks like, man, I'm watching this and I'm saying this has got to be the easiest way to play quarterback in the NFL. And why more guys who are coaching offense don't implement this for guys who play strictly this all the time through high school and college is beyond me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it is the easiest that it's ever. I mean, you know, you got rules where you can't touch guys past 5 yards. You got rules where it's hard to hit guys across the middle. You know, rules where a quarterback leads a guy and, you know, puts him in a defenseless position. You know, back in the day, that was a receiver coming back to the quarterback and cussing him out. Now it's a 15-yard penalty, and, you know, it's a benefit for your team. And so I think it is. I mean, you're watching guys, you know, weekly throw 5 and 6 touchdown passes, which, I mean, was so difficult to do in past generations. And, you know, we've seen it, I don't even know how many times this year where guys have gone, you know, 5 and 6. Mitch Trubisky went for 6 touchdowns yesterday. Jared Goff, although he played it a little differently, went for 5 on Thursday. So, yeah, it's a different game. I think the hardest part of this game is when you fall, if you try to play that game all the time, these guys don't develop. And so when you find yourself in situations that are third and long or longer yard situations, these guys aren't used to reading and making those kinds of plays. So you got to find a balance there between the two. But I think you're seeing more and more teams, you know, the jet sweeps, you know. I mean, I saw a 75-yard touchdown pass off of a jet sweep where they flipped it forward to the, you know, to the receiver as he was running in front of the quarterback, and it becomes a 75-yard touchdown. And so many different things about this game than back when I played.
Kurt Warner is our guest. The Denver Broncos have a shot to beat the Chiefs tonight. If what?
Well, I mean, I think there's a bunch of ways. I mean, first of all, you run the football. You know, this Chiefs defense hasn't been great all year long. They're susceptible to a lot of different things, whether it's run or pass. The Broncos have been pretty good at running the football. Run the football, keep Mahomes and that high-powered offense off the field. I think you have to score early, and especially with you know, with what we've kind of seen from Case this year. You don't want to put him in a position where he's got to play catch up and throw the ball every down. And the Chiefs haven't trailed yet in a game this year. And so, you know, as I said, things have been easier on the second-year quarterback because they, you know, scored a lot of points early and they found themselves way ahead where you don't have to, you know, try to force things and make bad decisions. So I think they need to jump ahead as well. And then I think the third thing is Von Miller and company need to get after Patrick Mahomes. They need to make him uncomfortable and force him to, you know, to make those bad decisions or throw the ball before he wants to. You know, those are some of the keys. I mean, there's so many keys. Tyreek Hill, don't let him score any big touchdowns. You know, you got to corral him somehow so he doesn't score big touchdowns because, he can change the complexion of the game on one play.
And the last thing I have for you is that while watching the game, I noticed that Case Keenum couldn't grab the ball properly. You know, it looked like it was a problem in the Baltimore game because of the weather outside. As a guy who played the position of quarterback, tell me about hand size, and does it begin to matter in games where inclement weather may be part of the story?
Well, I mean, I think it always can be. I mean, I think it's like anything else. You know, the bigger your hands are, the more surface area you have, the better chance you have to control anything. But I'm also a firm believer that when weather gets involved, you know, there's no way if a ball is slippery for you to hold the ball a different way, or because you have a bigger hand, to not have it slip out of your hand. I mean, if the ball slips, it slips. You know, if you get a patch of wetness on the ball right where you're grabbing it, I don't care how big your hands are, you know, you're going to have problems, you know, throwing the football. So, so weather's kind of a different deal, and it really just depends on the situation. I've been in light rain before where, you know, it's raining, but it never seems to affect the football. And then there's other times you find yourself, you put it on the ground, and it hits a wet spot, and you go to try to throw it, and you hit that with your fingers, and the ball, you know, comes out funny. So hard to say if it's strictly just because of a small hand, or more simply because of the conditions and the condition of the football when you're throwing it.
Kurt Warner is our guest. Hey, really quick, you had a remarkable career with the Cardinals and the Rams. Now that the Rams are in Los Angeles, do you still feel as connected to them as maybe you once did?
No, it's hard. You know, you still try to feel, you're still trying to feel it out on how you connect with an organization and in a place and with a fan base that, you know, was never where you played. You know, I go to the Coliseum right now and see the fans there, and you just wonder, because I played every snap, you know, with the Rams in St. Louis, and there's a lot of guys that right I played with that were the same way. So it's kind of a weird dynamic that I'm trying to figure out. Still supportive of, you know, the fan base there and of the team, and love to go back and watch the games. But yeah, I don't necessarily feel as connected as I did with a group that was there in St. Louis.
Yeah, because you must have connected you and your wife and your family with the people of St. Louis, right? I mean, that only makes sense.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that was where it all started and where things kind of came about. And so, special place in our heart for the people of St. Louis and the way they followed us and supported us. So, again, we always had fans in L.A. every time we went out there, and it was fun to be a part of that and see that. But, yeah, it just feels foreign. You know, it feels like when you go out there, it's, you know, it's not something that's comfortable to you because you just never been there before.
You know, it's just to stay on this just for a second longer, I've already heard the comparisons to the greatest show on turf, right, with your version of the Rams and this version of the Rams, and I just feel that must be kind of a weird thing because it's really not exactly the same team. And I'm sure you've heard it too at this point in the season.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's always fun. You know, when people start talking about that, it just kind of gives a little more life to what we did and the group that we had. But we had such a special group.
Oh, yeah.
And did it at a different time as well. I think that's the hard thing in the comparisons. Like I said, I mean, Patrick Mahomes has thrown six touchdown passes this year. Mitch Trubisky threw six touchdown passes yesterday. You know, Jared Goff threw five on Thursday. And so in an NFL where you're seeing that stuff happen weekly, you know, 350, 400 yards passing weekly, you know, it's easy to make the comparisons because that's the stuff that we were doing back then. But just because it's such a different game and we played the game so differently, you know, it's hard to really make that comparison, although Rams are playing great football and Jared Goff is playing well and they've got weapons all over. But it's definitely a different type of team than we had. And it's fun to compare. But I still think we had the best collection of offensive talent that the league's probably ever seen.
Kurt, we really appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Have a great broadcast tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Kurt Warner, who's doing the game on Westwood One tonight that you can hear right here on The Fan. We're keeping you updated with the Rockies. Great to talk to Kurt Warner. The Rockies went down in the top of the fourth. David Dahl did get on base with a walk. Then Nolan popped out, and Trevor Story lined out to left field. And then Dahl got thrown out trying to steal second, which is fine with two outs. Try to make something happen. Rockies, Alfred, have only had two base runners on, and they have no hits so far in this particular game as Marquez is dealing now in the bottom of the fourth. Wow. I mean, the biggest nightmare you can have, right? Like, here we are in Los Angeles, and we can't put scores up on the board, but Marquez is dealing as well. What do you think so far?
It's a compelling game, and it feels like the first person, should I say the first team to get to one, wins. You know, so it's certainly not what we had over the weekend, or should I say yesterday, when there was double digit, you know, in scoring. But it's.
Well, what are your thoughts about the Rockies getting to this point right here?
I really don't like it. I don't like it, and I thought that John Gray, man, on Friday night, on Saturday night, man, was that was not what we needed in that moment. You know, we needed somebody who was going to play big. And maybe because he got hit early with the pitch, you know, back at him, that it affected him in some kind of way. But it felt like we had enough to get through that stretch at home, and we just didn't. So,
well, where's your head at with the to celebrate or not to celebrate?
I think the celebration is fine. The celebration is fine.
That was Friday night.
Yeah, I think celebration is fine because you're in the playoffs. Where you play and how you play, or how many games you play, that's all different. But we knew Friday night that they were in, and I saw the celebration. And I was just so mindful that we have these two remaining games to secure a playoff berth and possibly a home field advantage.
We just had a little bit of a disappointing moment as there is a drop strike three that looked to be a little bit of a communication error between Marquez and Walters. Tony Walters catching, not Chris Iannetta today. And defensively, we love Tony Walters for sure. But sometimes when you call for a pitch to be low and it goes high and it's coming in at 90-something miles an hour, Alfred, sometimes it can tip off the glove, and that happens. So
looked like it was almost in the middle of the glove. I mean, it almost felt like it was in the netting, and then it just kept rising.
So the Dodgers get a runner on first base on a strikeout, a drop third strike. Machado up at the plate right now, so kind of in the heart of the Dodgers lineup here in the bottom of the fourth. And we're pointing out little things because, you know, it's hard to imagine anything but little things will matter in this particular game.
There seems to be a sense of entitlement, if you will, from the Dodgers fan base. I mean, when you look at that stadium,
Dodgers
man,
fan, where are they? It's empty.
My goodness! I mean, they're the stadium is not even half full.
Not even close. The upper deck is completely empty.
Right. So the options here feel like they're in favor of the Colorado Rockies because you don't have that huge roar of the crowd and all of that, but you are on the road.
Yeah.
You are playing at sea level, and you're playing the Dodgers, a team that you've had problems with.
I think the Dodgers and the Rockies, you know, they play each other so much. The whole concept of the crowd intimidation for either team, wherever they play, is a bit minimized. You know, this nobody's...
I don't know, but I would like to have that advantage here in Colorado if that was the case.
Well, if we had the game here, there'd be 50,000 people down in lower downtown.
That's what I'm saying.
Now.
No, without question, there would be 50,000 people at that stadium. It would be on lock. It would be the most electric place, including the game tonight when the Broncos are going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, you'd have a sellout.
I was explaining this to my wife in a way that she could understand it. This is something that has never been done. I mean, this is something that this organization has never done, and that's won a divisional title. So for this to happen to this organization at this time in the 25th year anniversary, it couldn't be any sweeter.
The way it would work out if the Rockies were to win is they'd be hosting the Braves, and they would have the number two seed in the West. How about that? They would be hosting the Braves on Wednesday night. If the Rockies lose, and I hope that doesn't happen, but if it happens, the playoffs start tomorrow in Chicago. Now, I want the Rockies to win. Don't get me wrong. I want them to win and start on Wednesday. But there is a part of me that would not mind seeing them going to Wrigley and just blasting those Cubs. I would love to see that as well. The Cubs really have fallen. You know, you talk about teams of momentum and don't have momentum.
Playing well at the end of the year.
The Cubs had the lead, and they kind of just fell off, And then they lost today 3-1 at home.
Milwaukee, yeah.
And to the Brewers. And so I'd rather the Rockies win. But a loss is not the end of the world for the Rockies, okay? It just isn't. You would have Kyle Freeland being ready to go on regular rest tomorrow. You'd be fine. You know, part of me went back and forth in my mind whether I even like Marquez pitching in this game at all. But at the end of the day, because Freeland and Marquez, to me, Al, are like 1 and 1A or 1A and 1B, you know, they're both, sure, like right there. I'm ultimately okay with it. If we had a situation...
What was your concern?
This is a regular season game. This is not the playoffs. You know, the game that you really got to win isn't today. It'd be nice to win. It'd be cool to win. But you can do amazing things from winning the wild card spot and moving forward.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
You know, this is not a playoff game. This is not a play-in game. People seem to be confused about that. This is a tiebreaker regular season game.
This is game 163. It's not the playoff. But the thing that I, once again, I always hark on during these situations is home field. There is something magical about playing here in the only stadium that's 5,280 feet. And so I am a big fan of seeing more of this because it's not necessarily what we do with our pitching, even though our pitching has been consistent at home and on the road. It's what it does to other pitchers and what they must think coming in here, seeing balls fly out the stadium.
That's
fair. It's not about what we do. It's about,
that's fair,
you know, what they perceive coming in here. It's the reason we don't get big-time free agent pitchers to sign with us.
Well,
and to have to come here and play here means a lot to me. So, yes, I want this win today. It does matter
to
me.
I do too. Don't get me wrong. But the Rockies this year are 44-37 on the road.
Yeah.
They've played
well at home and on the road.
Yeah, they're 47-34 at home. So their record at home is only slightly better than it is on the road. If you want to tell the story of the season, it's been their success actually on the road. Except, of course, for the three games they got swept in L.A. just, you know, last weekend or two weekends ago. I'd love to see the Braves here. Don't get me wrong. Because that's the ideal matchup for your first series.
Right, we can set our rotation.
You got a team that's not familiar with being here. And it'd be odd to be here. You know, playing the Dodgers again, you know, is tough. It's as tough as you get. Because all that sort of stuff, they know each other so well. They're so used to playing each other. It goes out the window. Machado struck out. Marquez is pitching great. The only reason there's a runner on first base is because of a drop third strike. So the Dodgers have a runner on first with one out in the bottom of the fourth inning. The Rockies right now are being no hit by Buehler through four innings. So a real
different pitcher's battle. Marquez has given up one.
One hit.
I mean, that's what we're looking at here.
Buehler's given up two walks. Marquez has a drop third strike. So Dodgers got two guys on. Rockies got a couple guys on. And nobody's been able to do anything. There's a shot of the stadium as we sit here at the View House. Just, I mean, literally.
And the intensity
is
right, man. The intensity is right for the moment. Right for the moment.
There's thousands of empty seats. And Marquez is,
He is balling, dog. You know what? This dude is a straight-up baller. All he does is go out there and create opportunities. And you know, watching him fan 10 feels like nothing because he had three fans in the first inning. This dude is money. That's who you want on the plate.
The only challenge, maybe this is why they have Walters, because Marquez's stuff is so electric. The ball's moving all over the place.
I mean, this dude is on a knee. Who is that? Who is that on the knee taking that swing?
That was.
Yeah, you're right,
baby.
That's who I am right now.
Grandal.
You know what, man? I know this is a big night for the for our Denver Broncos. But man, if you're not watching this team do something that it's never done, then your head's not in the right place.
We welcome you to join us. We got a nice huge crowd here at the View House. Great place. TV's all over the place. Ideal spot. There's a runner on first with two outs in the bottom of the fourth. No score with the Dodgers and the Rockies. The Big Three is next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 120-0716.
Live from View House Centennial, presented by Coors Light. Reacting live to Rockies Dodgers and getting you set for Broncos Chiefs. It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three. Presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
The 1-0.
Swing and a fly ball, crank to right field. Gonzalez at the track, turns around, launches it goal. Cody Bellinger with a two-run shot, and the Dodgers strike first in the NL West Championship game. It's 2-0 in the bottom of the fourth.
Story number one, that's the bad news. That happened during the commercial break, so now the Rockies have to score at least three, Alfred. I'll give you the good news, though. Even though Buehler's throwing a no-hitter against the Rockies through four innings as we come to the top of the fifth, he only has one strikeout, a couple walks. It means the Rockies are seeing the ball and putting it in play, just kind of hasn't gone their way. Whereas Marquez has eight strikeouts, and Bellinger just got, I don't know how else to put it, just kind of got lucky, I suppose, at that point. I mean, he's a good hitter, and he put the bat on the ball, good things happen. Alfred, knowing that Buehler, who struck out 12 Rockies last time he faced the Rockies, isn't having the strikeout success, do you have some hope here that the Rockies can put up some runs?
Absolutely. And you mentioned that Buehler had, 11 strikeouts last time?
I believe it was 12 against 12? The Rockies.
A career high.
That's right.
Career high. He had a good day. Maybe they had a good plan, but, you know, with good plans, you make adjustments. So I'm looking forward to this. You know, I am still excited about how this could finish for the Colorado Rockies, but I got to tell you, this is one of the quickest baseball games I've ever seen, and it's going down quickly. What are we in the fifth already?
Top five.
Yeah, this game is going quickly, and it's played. It looks like the team that's playing the cleanest is winning because Bellinger shouldn't have had a chance to hit that ball, D-Mac.
There was a dropped strike three, and if Marquez could have got out of the inning, Bellinger would have been leading off, and yada, yada, yada. That's the way baseball goes, and the Rockies are definitely seeing the ball. The hits just aren't dropping. It does give me hope, though. You put the bat on the ball, good things happen. So I'm okay with this right now, but you can't get down now by more than two runs. You got to make something happen, and Cargo just flew out to center field. Again, contact on the ball, but not driving for a hit with Desmond coming up. We'll keep you updated as the game goes on. Bongos.
Three.
Well, you got your wish. All but one started last weekend in the NFL. All four of the rookies that were in position to start on bad football teams ended up starting.
Yes.
Josh Rosen actually looked pretty good yesterday.
I thought so, too.
Had him in a position to win the game there against the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, D-Mac, the Arizona Cardinals are the only team in the NFL without a win. They're 0-4.
Right.
How long does this last?
Oh, if I'm a Cardinals fan, I hope it lasts the whole season. And you get Rosen experience, and then you're drafting for those other top picks, and you can turn things around. Hugh Jackson should just be fired. He just doesn't, I don't know. He seems like a good enough dude, but he just can't produce when he should be able. They should have won that game yesterday by a mile.
By the way, if you're going to be a riverboat gambler, okay, if you're going to be a riverboat gambler and you're going to go for two-pointers early in the game, why wouldn't you go for it on fourth down and inches to seal the game away?
That's a good question. I thought the same thing. If you got nothing to lose. You're the Cleveland Browns. You're in a nothing-to-lose scenario. That being said, I thought Rosen looked good. He looked better than Sam Bradford, that's for sure. Darnold is struggling, and I see the games that the Broncos got to win. You got to figure out a way to beat the Browns. You got to beat the Cardinals. You got to beat the Jets, okay? You got to win those three games before you go anywhere else. You got to beat the Raiders again. There's four, right? And let's go from there. Tonight's game, I think you got to win. I think if you're really a contender, you got to figure it out. You know, you got to figure it out, and you got to get this win, because winning in Kansas City is tough.
I can't believe you. You'll say that the Colorado Rockies don't have to win this game, but the Broncos have to.
Well, the Broncos haven't qualified.
I don't get it.
Well, the Broncos haven't qualified for the playoffs yet. The Rockies have.
Okay.
This is a tiebreaker game. This is not a playoff game. I want us to win, but the season is not over if they lose this game. Let's just keep it for what it is. And yes, it'd be great to win the NL West for the first time, but the season is not over if the Rockies lose. And then you get to your real must-win games after that. But I think they're seeing the ball well, and they can come back and win.
Okay.
I think they can do it because I've seen them do it. I don't know what the Broncos can do yet. Bongos.
Three.
Alfred Earl Thomas fractured his leg and flipped off his sideline as he went to the tunnel. What did you think of that moment?
I prefer that you do exactly what Le'Veon Bell is doing rather than do what you did. And Le'Veon Bell not showing up for work, even though he's under contract, feels a lot classier than what just happened with one of the greatest safeties to ever have played in the NFL.
You didn't like that moment.
I did not like the moment because he didn't have to show up without his extension on his contract. But maybe the money was too great for him to pass up at during the regular season. Therefore, he showed up. Since you're there, go ahead and play.
All right, Bongos.
Three.
Tony Walter's coming up with two outs in the top of the fifth. The Rockies are down 2-0. And then Marquez after him. No reason to take him out. Rockies got to get it going. We'll see what they can come up with. Meanwhile, Adam Schefter breaks down all the NFL news and previews the Broncos and the Chiefs. That's coming up next.
Live from View House Centennial, presented by Coors Light. Reacting live to Rockies Dodgers and getting you set for Broncos Chiefs. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Adam Schefter joins us, our ESPN NFL insider. Presented by ROX Heating and Air. That's ROX, ROX Heating and Air. Just to keep you updated, the Rockies are trailing the Dodgers 2-0 with a runner on second, no outs in the top, or the bottom of the fifth, rather, and Marquez still pitching for the Rockies. Adam, this is a cool sports day here in Denver with the Rockies and the Dodgers fighting for the NL West. The Rockies have never won a division before. They're in the playoffs one way or the other. But, you know, that's cool. And then you put on top of that the Chiefs and the Broncos, and you got a pretty special sports day. Do you remember anything like this in your time here in Denver where there were exciting multiple things happening on the same day?
Yeah, I can remember somehow, some way. I remember Nuggets playoff games and Rocky games, but not the same stakes, maybe. And then how about trying to think here. Because I remember, you know, there was always a big columnist deal, like, oh, going from one sporting event to another, they would go to all of them, you know. So I don't want to say it's this stakes. You know, we have the Rockies in the fifth inning right now, and they're down 2-0, so that's not great. They're going to need some fireworks here to come from behind to pull this out. But we'll see if they can do it. Hopefully they can. I think Colorado's had similar events, but this is a one-game playoff for the division title. This is Monday Night Football against the unbeaten Chiefs. This is a big Colorado sports day.
Yeah.
Adam, you know, yesterday we saw the ugliness of the NFL with Earl Thomas going down, getting injured, and on the way to the locker room in the Aircast, he flips off I think he's really flipping off Pete Carroll, but it's the bench area for the Seattle Seahawks. You know, with this Le'Veon Bell holdout, it feels like Le'Veon Bell is doing it the right way, and Earl Thomas being injured like this did it the wrong way.
You know, listen, we had a big debate on NFL Live today on ESPN. Me, Tim Hasselbeck, and Ryan Clark. And Ryan Clark defended it. And he said that Earl Thomas had every right to be angry and to do what he did. Now, I would say, and did say, that he's got every right to be angry if he wants to be. But that doesn't mean that you go and flip the bird at the team that, you know, paid you $40 million, that you won a Super Bowl with, that you were part of the Legion of Boom. I think that there's a way to go about your business. And I don't know that that's necessarily it. I think that if you've got a problem with the team, you could voice that to them privately. You could air that separately. And oh, by the way, nobody forced him to end his holdout and report. That was
right.
His decision, okay? Yeah, you could say that he could have been fined money and whatnot, but the fact of the matter is he went on there. He went in there on his own. They didn't make it. That was his choice. And they were paying him, I think, $8.5 million this year. He's still a top five paid safety in the league. I don't agree with that. You know, I don't think that's the right way to end what had been a great career with the franchise, to me.
Well, Le'Veon Bell was supporting him. You retweeted that earlier today, Adam. For the record, Al, you don't like it either. You didn't like the move by Earl
No,
Thomas.
I don't like the move, and I supported him if he wanted to hold out until his mandatory time that he had to report. Then I would have supported that, but it sounds you can't have you can't have your cake and eat it too in these type of situations, because you're making I think $10 million this year. I think that's his his cap number is $10 million, and if that is the case, then you know it sounds like you value the $10 million. You know, so you went to play, so you knew what the risk was.
But yeah, anyway, that's exactly right. And again, and it's just, you know, I always think that there's a certain way to handle yourself. And to me, that's not the right thing to do on the way out, to me.
The Broncos beat the Chiefs, Adam, tonight if what?
If they can force Patrick Mahomes into some turnovers. I think that he's had such an electric start to the season, and people love what he's done. He's got so much talent with his ability to throw the ball deep and do various things, but he hasn't made any mistakes really so far this season. He hasn't made any mistakes. He hasn't had to play from behind. And so to me, I think you start there. You got to force that guy to make some mistakes and maybe play from behind a little bit. You know, Denver's pass rush has not been great because the secondary has not been great. So somehow Denver's got to get that corrected. And I think Case Keenum's got to be able to make some big plays here. The Broncos haven't gotten a lot of big plays on offense. If they can get some big plays, take the lead, limit the big plays, get some pressure, get some turnovers, there's your recipe for beating the Chiefs tonight.
There seems to be a new way of playing football in the NFL.
The Rockies are down 4-0.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're seeing that now. A two-run homer by – who got that one?
Yep, down 4-0.
Muncy, yeah.
Was it Jock Peterson?
John Peterson led off the inning with a double. And now Muncy's hit another opposite field two-run homer. Rockies down 4-0. You know, this is an interesting moment right here if we're just going to talk about baseball. You got 81 pitches by Marquez, who's been your ace. It's likely that you're going to have if you lose, you have a one-game playoff against Chicago, and then you'd start the next night. You know, at this point, Bud Black has some interesting managerial decisions to make right now. Because like I've been saying all day, Adam, it's a quirky situation. A lot of people are saying that it's not a play-in game. It's a tie-breaking game. It'd be great to win. You want to win. But the playoffs actually start tomorrow or Wednesday if you happen to win this. It's, merge NFL and baseball. What I think baseball's done smartly, Adam, is given you this incredible moments of, you know, just like the NFL, everything's on the line right away. Do you like those moments here in baseball? That's very similar to the NFL.
Yeah, and to your point, and again, I don't follow the Rockies, so I'm speaking blindly. But, yeah, this guy's now throwing 83 pitches.
Right, how much more?
If he's that good, you're down 4-0. I don't want to wave the white flag. I don't mean to wave the white flag this early, but I might start focusing my attention to the next series or next game.
Right, and then you know, the options, though, to use him again in the next game are basically none.
Well, not tomorrow, but you could use him in a, hopefully you win tomorrow with Kyle Freeland, who's another one of your aces.
Right.
And you kind of go from there. Hey, really quick, Adam, is anybody on ESPN picking the Broncos to win tonight?
They made the pick. I don't pick games. I'll pick the Broncos for you. How about that? I think
you don't have to. Do you want to? Do you believe it?
Yeah, I think they're going to play. I'll be disappointed if they don't play a good game tonight. I think they're going to play a good game tonight. Yes. I think that they're going to give the Chiefs all they can handle. Now, doesn't mean I'm right, but yeah, I'm expecting a good game from Denver.
Well, Adam, I know it's been a fantastic, fantastic weekend of football. A lot of good football. And what I saw last night kind of got me thinking, when we lost that game last weekend to the Baltimore Ravens, we lost to a really good football team.
Yeah, no, they are very good. The defense has, I don't think it's allowed a touchdown in the second half this season. It's a tough football team. And And guess what? Baltimore's about to get even better because they'll get back at this point in time. They're
Jimmy Smith. Yeah.
Jimmy Smith. And they haven't even had their tight end, Aiden Hurst, play yet. So they got some help coming along the way, and we'll see how that works out for them.
All right, great. And by the way, because we're such geniuses, Bud Black is making a pitching change with two outs. Marquez has thrown, let me check here, he's thrown
84 pitches, 80, I believe.
84 pitches, so they're taking him out. They're definitely, I think this is smart. He's looking forward.
You know what? It's good to see Bud Black listening to Alfred and D-Mac radio show. So that he can take his cues from you guys about what to do and how to manage this pitching staff. Good job.
Thank God. Thank God he's got us. All right, Adam, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, pal.
Have a great week, guys. Take care.
Adam Schefter, presented by Rocks Heating and Air. Football at 4 comes up next.